the things the blood of Jesus Christ does. And the blood of Jesus Christ is a precious thing, very precious. And ought to be precious to you as a saint of God. And you ought to, as a Christian, I want to urge you to go through the Bible and see all the things that the blood does for a Christian. And study it and find it and meditate on it. The blood does a tremendous thing for you. Now, you got your pen? Write it down. Get your pen, write it down. Things the blood does for you. That's not what I'm going to preach on. But that's something you need to study on. Amen. Things the blood does for me. And that song is a great thing. Now, here we go. Jeremiah. 1 Kings 20. Here we go. 1 Kings 20. All right. 1 Kings chapter 20. And let's pick up verse. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Every eye closed and every head bowed. And let's start out this thing right. Dear Lord Jesus, we want to start out with you, and we want you to do the work in our hearts. And Lord, we want you to speak to us tonight. And Lord, help us not to be stubborn. Help us not to be self-willed, Father. And Lord, help us not to be rebellious. Lord, I pray that we be tender-hearted tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would please speak to our heart. And I pray that we would say yes to you this evening. And Lord, we ask your blessing upon everything. Lord, help me not to say something dumb and stupid. Lord, watch over my mouth and watch over my heart. Lord, cleanse my heart in the blood of Jesus. And Father, please fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, 1 Kings chapter 20. And let's begin with verse 35. Now, you all listen to me. You've got to get your pen, mark some things in your Bible. And a certain man of the sons of the prophet. Now you want to underline, this guy's a prophet. Prophet, right there in the margin, the son of the prophets. Said unto his neighbor, he went next door, in the word of the Lord, smite me. I pray thee, and the man refused to smite him. So the prophet goes next door to his neighbor and says, I want you to lay one on me, right here. And he says, no, wrong place. I want you to put one right there. Now, haul off and smack me as hard as you can. This guy says, not me, man. I'm not touching the prophet of God. I know better than that. Boy, the light will strike me dead. I'm about to touch the prophet of God. Not me, boy. I know better than that. Should you hurt the prophet of God? Should you lay your hand on the prophet of God? Well, you shouldn't, but if you're told to, you better. Because look at the next verse. Then said he to him, because thou hast not, underline it, done what? Obeyed. Sometimes God tells you to do something that don't make sense. But you better obey. It don't matter whether it makes sense or not. You better obey. God wants you to be obedient. Obeyed the voice of the Lord. When God tells you to do something, you better jump. The voice of the Lord, whether it makes sense or not. Behold, as soon as thou art departed from me, a lion shall slay thee. And as soon as he was departed from, a lion found him and slew him. This guy walked off and said, man, I was a close shave, boy. But he said, a lion's going to get me. I don't know. What, are you going to get me or not? Maybe he will, maybe he won't. He goes around the corner and out comes a lion and kills him. He's done for. Why? Because he wouldn't obey. God wants obedience. Here's the prophet of God. He's looking for an illustration. We need illustrations. The hardest thing about preaching is an illustration. Say amen. Amen, brother. And this prophet says, I got to have an illustration. I got to have a disguise. Because I got to go to the king. And I got to put some heavy burden on him. And I got to have a disguise. Now watch it. Then he found another man. Now watch it. And said, smite me, I pray thee. And a man smote him, so that smiting him, he wounded him. Goes this fellow, says, okay, put one right on me. Now, don't be easy on me. Don't be nice. Just come on, put it right on me. God told you to, so come on, put it on there. This guy says, okie dokie. Bam! And he hits him right in the eye, and his eye swells up and hits him down on the ground. Bam! Yeah, thanks, buddy. Gets up and walks off and says, boy, that, whew, but I got the illustration. I've got just what God wanted me to have. Well, it's hard to be a prophet of God in some places of life. What if God called you to do that? Would you have the guts to go and do what God told you to do? Well, that's what he's told to do. He's doing what he's supposed to do. Amen, brother? And then, verse 38. So the prophet departed and waited for the king by the way. And disguised, circle that, he's in a disguise. So he put some old clothes on himself with ashes upon his face and covered up his face so the king won't recognize that he's the prophet of God. And as the king passed by, I want you to underline that because that has to do with my text. As the king passed by, he cried unto the king, and he said, thy servant went out unto the midst of the battle. So he's saying, I went out in the middle of the battle, and here's the battle hot and heavy, and I'm in the middle of the battle. And behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, keep this man. Now watch it, underline it. Keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver, of 60 pounds of silver. Man, that's a lot. So this must have been what kind of enemy? It must have been a valuable one if they captured. So go out and they're fighting a battle. This goes out there in the middle, and they get one of those guys, one of the enemies, and they capture it. And they bring it to this guy and say, now, you're in charge of keeping him. You keep him, and whatever you do, don't let him go. And if you let him go, or he escapes, you die. Or you pay 60 pounds of silver. Woo! 60 pounds of silver, what would that be? Oh, I don't know what silver goes for nowadays, but it'd be big bucks. Hey, amen. Big bucks. He wouldn't get out cheap. So this must be a valuable prisoner. Say amen. Now watch what happens. Watch what happens. All right. Or he'll die for it. Verse 40. And as thy servant, I want you to underline this because this is my text this evening. As thy servant was, now watch it, busy here. He was busy here. What was he doing? What was he busy doing? Didn't say. Just said he was busy here. And there, he was busy somewhere else. What was he not busy doing? He wasn't busy paying attention to what he should have been paying attention to. He got sidetracked. Write it on here, write it down. Don't, now here's the name of my message, brother. Oh, who's going to write it down? Who's going to take care of that tape? You are, brother? Okay. Right down there in your little book there. Don't let God pass you by. Don't let God pass you by. What is he doing? He says, I was busy here. I was busy there. Now watch it. I was busy here and I was busy there. He was gone. And the king, Israel, said unto him, so shall thy judgment be. Thyself hath decided it. He still don't know who the prophet of God is. He don't know that he's talking to the prophet of God, does he? Say amen. Verse 41. And he hastened and took the ashes away from his face. And the king of Israel discerned him that he was the prophet. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction. Therefore, thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. And the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased and came to Samaria. So, aren't you under that part where it says, and I was busy here, I was busy there, and then the prisoner got away. Now, I want to preach on, don't let God pass you by. And he might pass you by while you're busy doing something other than what you should be doing. So make sure you don't let the Lord pass you by. All right, number one, God will pass you by in this thing right here. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Genesis. This is point number one. Don't let the Lord pass you by in this one. Turn to Genesis and turn to Genesis chapter 18. Some Christians, because they're busy here and there and somewhere else, they let the Lord pass them by. And the Lord just kind of walks there and just kind of walks right on by. And they miss this thing here. Genesis chapter 18. Now let's pick up verse 1. And the Lord, what's that word right there, folks? Genesis 18:1. And the Lord what? Appeared. Circle the word appeared. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Moriah. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Now he's sitting in his tent. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he did what? What did he do? He ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself to the toward the ground. Now, I want you to think about something. Here's Abraham. And he got his tent here. His tent spacing out here like that and facing down the valley there. And all of a sudden, here comes the Lord and two other men. Where is the Lord gone and the two other men with him? Where are they gone? Down there to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, they come down through here, and Abraham's sitting there in his tent. He's got his eyes down like that and said he lifted up his eyes and he saw the Lord over there. But let me ask you something. Could have the Lord went on the backside of the tent about 2 miles in that direction. He's sitting in the tent door. If he'd have went on that side of the tent about 2 miles back there, would Abraham have saw him? Could have the Lord done that? Say amen. He could have just said, well, I'm just going to go on this side right here. I'm just going to go down here. And Abraham's tent's over there on that side, and I'm just going to go on down here to Sodom. I want to do something to Sodom. Took the two angels with him. Say amen. But he doesn't do that. He comes by here like this. He comes by on the front side. And he comes by, and they're all walking kind of fast. Kind of walking fast down through there like this, just kind of clicking along down through there like that. And they all click over, they all turn their heads over like that and kind of just look over that and keep right on trucking. You all with me? Amen. Abraham, he got his head down like this. I'll ask you a question. Suppose he didn't look up. Suppose he had his eyes on his lawnmower. Suppose he had his eyes on his nice new truck. Suppose he had his eyes on the house he's building. Amen, brother. Suppose he just didn't look up and see the Lord pass by. But he doesn't. He lifts up his eyes and says, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. And he's passing me by. Are you with me? And so what does he do? I want you to underline something right there in the passage, right there in verse 2 it said, and he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he did what? He ran. He didn't miss an opportunity. Now, what's this thing about? To meet him from the tent door and bowed himself towards the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Lest a little water, I pray thee, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, now underline it, and comfort your hearts. After that, ye shall do what? Underline it. Ye shall what? Pass on. Don't let the Lord pass you by. What's that thing? Write it down. Abraham wanted to do something for the Lord, so he didn't let the Lord pass by. Now, do you want to do something for the Lord? You want to do something for the Lord? Don't let the Lord pass by. Don't let the Lord pass by. I'll show you what it's like. I was standing out there in the hallway. Out there in the hallway with it, you know, in the best where everybody comes in. And I looked over here on a list over here and a list over here, and it said daughters and mothers banquet. You know how many daughters and mothers were on the list? Not many. You can let the Lord pass you by?
You, everything you do for God Almighty counts. Everything you do for God counts. Whatsoever you do, do it heartedly as unto the Lord and not unto men. God will reward you for everything you do. Don't let the Lord pass you by. You get an opportunity, take it, take it, take it.
There's another list out there for food for the ladies' banquet. You know how many are on it? Not many. Less, in fact. Say amen. You say, what you're trying to do?
You are worshiping God. Give it your best shot. You're worshiping the Lord of glory by what you do. Give it your best shot. If the boss said you'd be to work on time, would you show up on time?
Or would you go to work and say, well, I can get away. I can just squeak right in there with the last nip. And as I'm not supposed to be there till 8 o'clock, but well, I'm going to sleep right in there. You show up a half hour before the thing begins at 8 o'clock, don't you? Did you do that as an unsaved person? Did you do that as an unsaved person? See there? Before he got saved, he did that.
Say amen.
Don't come in late. I was worried if anybody was going to be here. I said, man, getting close. Nobody's here. You guys are like mine at home. You come late. You're Baptist.
Must be. They're always late.
Come on in, and come on in, and come early, and get here, and you be here. And Sunday morning when the door opens, you be here. Sunday night when the door opens, you be here. Wednesday night when the door opens, and when visitation time comes, you be right there to knock on the doors.
You with me? Don't let the Lord pass you by. You want to do something for Him. Opportunity come by and you miss it. One of these days it's going to be over. One of these days you're going to step out into eternity and you're going to serve God forever. In the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 22, verse 1, 2, and 3 says, ye shall be my servants for eternity. You're going to serve God Almighty in eternity.
But that ain't now. Now you could miss some opportunities. He could just pass you right on by.
Need a Sunday school teacher?
Do you need a Sunday school teacher?
Do you know, what do you need? You need something?
You say what? Grab every opportunity. My Bible says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in that which is much.
Do you need somebody to take care of the nursery? You say that counts? That counts just as much as this pulpit counts. You say why? Whatsoever you do, you ought to memorize the verse. How many of you know Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24 and 25? Can you quote the verse? Anybody quote the verse? Can you quote Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, 24, and 25? Can anybody quote that verse? Come on, that's a golden nugget. A golden nugget. Get you a golden nugget. And whatever you do for God, serve Him. Give it your best. Don't let the Lord pass by. He might just pass you by. Number two. Take your Bible and let's turn to it again. Turn to Psalm Solomon. Turn to Psalm Solomon. And turn to Psalm Solomon chapter 5. Psalm Solomon chapter 5. And let's look at verse 1. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Psalm Solomon. Psalm Solomon chapter 5, and let's begin. I want to, you say, well, the Lord wouldn't pass me by. That preacher, I don't agree with that. Well, I'll tell you something, the Lord will pass you by, and He'll just walk right on by, and you'll be sitting there, and you'll wonder, what happened to my golden opportunity? It passed you by. Psalm Solomon chapter 5, verse 1. I am come unto my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spices, and I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drank my wine with my milk. Eat, O friend, drink ye, drink abundantly, O beloved. I slept, but my heart waketh. It was the voice of my beloved. Now I want you to circle in your Bible, in verse 2, circle the word, my beloved. And I want you to write down Matthew chapter 12, verse 18. Matthew chapter 12, verse 18, my beloved. Matthew 12, 18. I want you to write down Matthew 17, 5. Matthew 17, 5, my beloved. I want you to write down Mark chapter 1, verse 11. My beloved, Mark chapter 1, verse 11. Write down Mark chapter 10, verse 9. Hey, there's that beloved again. Mark chapter 10? No, it's 9, 7. Mark 9, 7. Luke chapter 3, verse 22. Luke chapter 3, verse 22. Luke chapter 9, verse 35. Luke chapter 9, verse 35. Luke chapter 20, verse 13. And that's just the beginning of it. The beloved is Jesus. Amen. Now I want you to get it. The beloved is Jesus. So in the book of Psalm Solomon, it talks about the church, which is you and me. And Jesus, he's the beloved. Say amen. I need your help here. Real loud.
Amen.
Amen. Did you all hear the preacher? He said amen. So you say, what? Somebody sitting back there in the back. Well, I don't know about that. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's not. It is too. That's who it is. Jesus and you. That's the whole book of Psalm Solomon. Now, I said that because I want you to get verse 3. Get a little bit more here. I have put off my coat. That's the bride speaking. That's the church. That's you and me. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? So right there beside verse 3, write down one word. Delay. Delay. So when you delay and you get an opportunity and you delay, you miss. The Lord walk goes right on by you. Delay. Now verse 4. My beloved put his hand by the hold of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. Now verse 5. There's the bride. I rose up to open. Now watch it, to open. He's like going to the door and say, come on in, Jesus, come on in. That's what they're doing, that's what she's doing. Now keep going. All right, my beloved, there's Jesus. And my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handle of the door. I opened, there we are again, to my beloved, there's Jesus again. Now watch it. But my beloved hath withdrawn himself. Boy, ain't that something. Had withdrawn himself. He comes up, says, here I am. And then that little bit of delay. Nah, I think I'll just wait. I'm a little bit too late. I got to do this right over here. He gets up and walks away. He's gone. He walked right away, just like that. He says, the Lord won't do that. You don't know the Lord. Like you ought to know the Lord. He will. He'll pass you right on by. Again, take your Bible. Point number 2. Don't let the Lord pass you by in time of trouble. In time of trouble. Write it down. When you get in trouble, if you're not careful, the Lord will pass you by. Right in the middle of your trouble. Now, I want to prove that to you. Take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, just in case you've got that kind of heart, like my dear friend, Pastor so-and-so. He's my friend, so I'm not going to give his name. Just in case this tape might slick back to him. So I won't tell his name. He's my good friend. I love him. But he heard somebody preach this message, and he heard him preach it. And then I preached the message that I heard this guy preach, but he didn't know that. And so I was preaching it, and I didn't know that he had already heard it. And I got up and preached it to him, and he sits back there and goes, I don't know. Boy, I'm giving that thing the hammer. He said, I don't believe that. The Lord wouldn't pass you by. And he kept looking at me going, giving me that old look, you know. And I thought, hey, man, that book says he'll pass you by. And if you don't think the Lord won't pass you by, he will pass you by. Just walk right on by you. Abraham was a great man, wasn't he? How many know Abraham was a great man? He almost walked by Abraham. Almost walked by Abraham. All Abraham had to do was just keep right on sitting there with his eyes down, and the Lord had walked right on by him. Now here, don't miss the Lord in a time of trouble. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 and pick up verse 47. Now, stay with me. Mark chapter 6, and let's pick up verse 47. But when... let's go back a little bit further. Let's go back to verse 46. Mark chapter 6, verse 46. And then he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. When evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea. The disciples are out there in the Sea of Galilee. And he alone on the land. And he saw them tilling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. About the fourth watch of the night, he came unto them. Now, underline it. What's he doing? Walking upon the sea. Did Jesus walk on the water? How many believe Jesus walked on the water? Amen. He did, brother. Walking on the sea. And would have, underline that right there, in the last words in verse 48. And would have what? Passed by them. So here they are. Here's a wave coming up there about 6 feet in the air. And them disciples going over there just rolling like mad, trying to get up over the wave like that. And all of a sudden they see Jesus out there walking on the water. And they're in trouble. That boat's about to sink. It's going to go down, baby, go down. The guy got swept over off their face and they're going, go, man, go, 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 we're about to sink, go, go, go. And they look out there and see Jesus. And he's about to pass by in the time of trouble. He just put on top of the water. It's what the Lord do. He's testing them. The Lord's a character. He's testing them. You get in trouble. You get in real bad trouble. And you say, oh God, I'm in trouble. Help me. That's the right thing to do. Yeah. I tell you what not to do. I'm in trouble, preacher. I'm in trouble. But I'm going to get me a lawyer. Yeah. Wrong thing to do.
Amen, brother. Yeah.
I'm in trouble, preacher. I'm in trouble. Oh, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. Oh, get me a doctor. Wrong thing to do.
Amen.
You say, you against doctors? No, I don't particularly like them, but I'm not against them. I go there once in a while. I don't like lawyers either, but I guess then you gotta have one. But don't make that your first priority.
Yeah. Amen.
Make your priority Jesus.
Amen.
You give Jesus every chance you can to help you out of your trouble.
Amen.
Don't you let him pass you by. You got it, Christian?
Yeah.
You got it, Christian? You know how many, you know what that guy, I had a guy in my church, brother? He got in trouble. He had 5 kids. And he come to me and said, preacher, what should I do? I said, I'll tell you exactly what to do. It'll work. If you get on your hands and knees and repent and confess all your sins and get your heart right with God and give God your heart, he'll straighten out the whole mess. And he said, I'm going to go get me a lawyer. You know what was the deal was? He had a girlfriend on the side. That's why he didn't want to get out and repent and bawl and cry and see God. That's why he wanted a lawyer. He didn't tell the lawyer he had a girlfriend either. But it lost his life and his 5 kids and his home.
and his car and a whole bunch of other junk.
Say amen.
And all he had to do when he got in trouble was say, oh God,
Jesus, I'm in trouble and the boat's about to sink. Please don't pass me by.
What'd they do? Now write it down. Write it down. What does it say they did? Verse 49.
But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and an alignment circle. What'd they do? Right there at the last two words in verse 49, they did what? Cried out. Cried out. You say, what's this crying out? That's saying, oh God, I need your help. I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. My son's sick. My son's sick. And money won't do a thing. You cried out to God, and he took Sarah and brought her back, and she's in the house today. You cried out to God, didn't you, brother? Didn't this whole church cry out to God?
Yes.
What if you'd have said, oh, well, I don't have to see God. I don't have to cry out to God. I don't have to do that. Why should I do that?
Some Christians don't. Amen, brother. Some Christians don't. They just let the Lord pass them right on by in their trouble. Go right on by. You know what they think's going to take care of them?
That sometimes will not take care of.
Yes.
You better not trust that.
Yes.
You better trust the Lord. You better cry out to the Lord when you get in trouble. Look here. Suppose a Christian doesn't. I'm going to tell you something. It could get worse. The waves could get higher. They could get bigger. And bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until the boat goes under.
Make sure you cry out, boy. Make sure you cry out. Again, I want you to take your Bible and turn over to 2 Chronicles. And turn to 2 Chronicles chapter... No, I'm going to give you that later. Let's go to the next point. I want you to get 2 Chronicles and hold it in your hand, but I want to give you this point first. Don't let God pass you by in this case right here. Don't let God pass you by when you need a miracle. Turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Don't let the Lord pass you by when you need a miracle. Luke chapter 18, and let's pick up verse 36. Stay with me, brethren, stay with me. Luke chapter 18, and let's pick up verse 35. Come to pass that as he was nigh to Jerusalem, a certain, what, folks? Blind man sat by the wayside begging, and hearing the multitude, now underline the next two words, do what? Pass by. So here goes the multitude. And here's blind Bartimaeus, and he's sitting there by the roadside. And here comes a multitude, big old crowd. I mean, they're going down through there, and they're tromping down through there. He's blind as a bat, and he hears him go by. And he hears it go by and say, now they're passing by. Wonder who that is passing by. And he heard the multitude passing by and asked what it meant. Then he says, hey, tell me something. What is the big crowd? What are everybody passing by? What's the deal? And he told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. Now watch the next word. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't want him to pass by. You want a miracle? Do you want a miracle? Do you need a miracle? And don't let Jesus pass by. You say a miracle, a miracle. Yes. You believe in miracles?
Yes. Amen.
You say, well, preacher, I don't believe in miracles. I do.
Yes.
God can do things that nobody else can do.
Yes.
A lawyer, nobody can do what God can do.
Yes.
He can change a man's heart.
Yes.
He can change his life. You're a miracle that God saved you. You're a miracle that God saved you.
Amen.
You know how many men get saved at 50 years old? Not many. You need a miracle? Be like blind Bartimaeus and said, "Jesus, thou son of David, Jesus, thou son of David." Don't let him pass by when you need a miracle. Make sure you get one.
Now I want you to watch something. I want you to see something right there in God's precious word. I want you to see something right there in verse 1837. Now watch it. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by, and he cried, saying, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And they which went before did what? They rebuked him that he should hold his peace.
Be quiet, you're making too much noise. Be quiet, you're making too much noise. Somebody's trying to stand in the way of his miracle. Write it down in your Bible. Somebody will try to stand in your way of your miracle too. Somebody get right in there like that and get right in there like that and say, get right in there and just be right in there and say, "Oh, God can't do that. Oh, you've got your hopes shut. You got your eyes too high. You got your aim too high. It's impossible. It's impossible. God can't do that." That's what the devil whispers in your ear. It's impossible. They can't change. They can't change. Nothing can make it different. It's impossible for them to change. You want that? Nothing with God is impossible. He can change a man's heart. He can change his mind. He can change his desires. He can change everything about her. He can make her different if you just give God a chance and seek God for a miracle. Blind Bartimaeus said, "You ain't standing in my way. He's about to get away. Thou son of David, have mercy upon thee." He gets his attention. And Jesus turns around and stops and says, okay, I was just testing you. I knew you was there. I knew you was blind. I know he is there. I just want to see how bad you wanted it. Got it? Some people don't want it very bad. They don't think God can do it, so they don't search and they just let the Lord pass them right on by. You'll be surprised how many miracles folks have missed. And he got it. He got his miracle. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. I want to explain a verse to you in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. I want to explain a verse to you that you need to know just in case you think the Lord is going to pass you by because he can't work miracles, and he can. We have a lot of folks in today that make fun of this situation of America working God, and I'm sure the Lord is going to hold them accountable in the day of judgment. A lot of folk give up, say this, and just laugh and mock at it because they see it and hear it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Say amen. Amen. Now, turn to 2 Chronicles 16. I want to show you a great verse as far as miracles are concerned. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, I want you to look at verse 9. 2 Chronicles 16:9, and it says in verse 9, how many of you are there? Say amen. Okay. The eyes of the Lord run to and throughout the whole earth. So the Lord's doing this. Over here. He's looking in the whole world. And he's looking for somebody.
Now look what he's looking for. Today, we drove by somewhere up there, we drove by a sign that said, "A Little Miracle." Anybody see it in some little town here nearby? What town was we in when it said "A Little Miracle"?
Hillsboro.
Little sign up there in Hillsboro says "A Little Miracle." Anybody know what's on that sign? A baby. That's a little miracle. That's true. I don't know what else the rest of that sign said, but that's true. Say amen. God's not looking for a little miracle. God wants a big one. Now watch it, watch it. All right, it says in verse 9, the Lord to show himself what? What does it say? Did it say weak? Or did it say strong? Do I have an almighty God that can work miracles that are impossible for anybody to do? That's the kind of man God's looking for, somebody to say, God, I want a miracle. I want something that's just absolutely impossible if you don't change her. If I am done for if you don't change her from the very inside. And I'm not talking about my wife either. Y'all, let me say amen. See? Then what you have to do is you have to start praying that way. And get you a miracle. Get you a miracle. Don't let the Lord pass you by. You just holler out and scream out to God and say, oh God, I want a miracle and I need one now. And God says, that's the guy I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody that expects me as an almighty God that can work miracles. Don't ask him to do something that you could do. All right, this little thing. I ask God to do everything for me because, you know, I'm kind of, I'll liable to mess it up good. So I ask him to do everything for me. But that's not what God really wants. You know what God wants? God wants for the impossible things that I can't possibly do. That's what he wants from you. All right, number 4. Don't let God pass you by when it comes to needing something from God's book. Don't let God pass you by when you want something from a Bible. When you want some golden nugget from the Bible, take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 14. Turn to the Gospel of Luke and turn to Luke chapter 14. Now, don't let the Lord pass you by when it comes to getting something from his book. Luke chapter 20, what did I say? 14, that's the wrong chapter. Luke 24. Luke chapter 24, that's the right chapter. Luke chapter 24, and let's pick up verse 13 at the paragraph mark. And behold, two of them went that same day to the village called Emmaus. Now this is after Jesus Christ's resurrection, and two men are walking along the road to the Emmaus. Y'all with me? Say amen. And which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together all these things which had happened. And it come to pass that while they were communing together and reasoning, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. He was kind of behind him. He caught up with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. So the Lord just kind of put blinders on their eyes and they just thought he was just some stranger there. You with me? Isn't that right, brother? They're walking down there and they really didn't know who he was. Because the Lord just kind of put blinders over their eyes. They knew he was a man, but they didn't know it was Jesus. Now, how come Jesus is kind of hiding himself in a disguise? Because he's putting you to the test. He can do the same thing with you. So he's hiding himself. Now, watch it there. And verse 17. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Now who's talking? Jesus. And he says, what are you sad about, boys? Wait a minute. What a question. Does Jesus know what just happened a few days before that? Why he was sad. Of course he knows. What a thing to ask a guy. Why are you guys so sad? What are you talking about? What happened? The Lord's a trickster. Boy, you talk about a test, man. What would if they had just said, well, fella, you really don't know anything about it. We'll see you later. Pass the Lord right on by, boy. What happened to do like some Christians do? Well,
My Christianity is personal, and my Christianity is private, and that's between me and God.
You get a fit, Paul!
If you was there, that's the Savior. That's the Savior right there! And he looks like some stranger.
Don't even know who this guy is. Now watch it. Watch it. And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered and said to him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them,
underline it, what did he say?
What things? What a question! What a question! What things? He said,
what things?
That's the Lord! He's been whipped! He's been beaten!
You keep your mouth shut, folks. You better be careful. They'll pass you right on by, and you won't even know the Lord was there.
Don't let the Lord pass you by.
Now watch what happens. Watch what happens.
Verse 19, and he said to them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, might indeed word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him and to condemn them to death, and to crucify them. But we trusted it had been he which should have redeemed Israel, and besides all this, 3 days and the third day since these things have done. Yea, and certain women also of company made us astonished, which were early in the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came, saying that he also himself visited angels, which said, He is alive. And certain of them which were with us when the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but he they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And began at Moses, now watch it, at Moses and all the prophets, and what did he do? Expounded unto them all the scripture, the things concerning himself. So what did he do? Goes back there in Genesis and said, here's Moses. Moses wrote this, and this is about Jesus. Moses wrote this, and this is about Jesus. He goes all the way through the Old Testament, all those places that talk about Jesus. And inside their heart said their hearts burned within them. They're burning in and their hearts going, there's Jesus in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. There's Jesus in Exodus chapter 12, the Lamb, and all their heart and their hearts going, woo!
Yeah.
Now watch it. Now watch it. But they can, verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone, what folks?
Further. He goes on up there like that. Well, fellas, I'll see you later. I've got to go this way. I'll see you later, boys. Walk over here like that. He didn't want to leave. He was to stay right there with them. But how much do they want the word of God? How much do you want the word of God? Do you want the word of God bad enough that you're here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night?
Yes.
Or do you just want the word of God whenever you just happen to get here? Is that all you are? He'll pass you right on by and you'll miss something from that book that you got to have. A golden nugget you need to get you through.
Yeah.
And you'll miss it. You just let the Lord pass right on by. And these old boys say, no sirree, Bob. We ain't gonna let this guy pass. We got our hearts burning when he opened up the scripture to us. Hey, fellas, don't you leave. See? They didn't. See, the Lord will pass you by if you don't want something from that book bad enough. You don't want something from that book bad enough. He'll pass you right on by. And you won't get it. You'll miss it. Eunice likes like this. I have Dr. Peter S. Ruckman out there in my church.
this summer. I had him out there preaching for me. And I have on my phone pilot, I had a list of all the things I wanted to ask Dr. Peter S. Rucker. I had a big old long list. And I thought, man, he's the greatest Bible scholar I know. Say amen. He really knows the book from cover to cover and the outside cover too. And I mean, you ask him a question, he's got it right now. Just like that. And I thought, there he is in the high in my swing chair in my backyard, just me and him. Nobody to interrupt us, nobody around. There he is. I jerked out my phone pilot, opened it up and said, Dr. Ruckus. And then something comes to mind and says, go over there and fix that thing right there. So I closed my palm pilot and shut it and turned it off and closed it and put it back in my pocket. And I walked away. Walked over here, and as I'm bending over here, I look back and I see Dr. Rutman get up and walk away. He got up, walked away just like that. That's what the Lord will do to you too. That, folks, you got a chance to learn the Word of God, you get something from that book, and I missed it. I still don't know those questions. I know if you are. I still got the list. I haven't got the answer yet. I've been praying and praying and praying, and God didn't give me the answer to it. But that guy that had the answer and couldn't give it to me, every question I've ever asked him, he answered it just like that. Boy, he didn't say, I'll have to look it up. He didn't say, whom harm or nothing. He just gave me the answer. What'd I do? I got sidetracked. I got over here like this. I got over here like this. Busy with something that was, who knows what that thing was? Yeah. Here's this preacher friend of mine. He hears me preach this message, and hears that missionary preach the message, and he gets mad at both of us. But I want to tell you something about it. He's a golfer. And he's hitting that golf ball on Monday. And he's hitting that golf ball on Tuesday. He's hitting that golf ball on Wednesday. And he's hitting that golf ball on Thursday. And he's hitting that golf ball. He's playing 18 holes every day. But he's down to 32. He can hit a 32. Anybody, you know what 32 is? That's almost par. That's almost par! He laughed and says, I'm getting ready to go on the tour. And I say inside, God didn't call you to play golf. God called you to preach. Now you listen to me. God didn't call you to play golf. God called you to preach. Don't you get sidetracked with something over here. You give your best shot to that book. Say amen. All right. Now, I want you to take your Bible and I want you to turn again. And I want you to see, they didn't let him pass by, they got it. But you may let the Lord pass you by and not get something from the book you want. Now, turn to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. And I don't know when I'm supposed to quit, so I'm just going to keep on going. Genesis chapter 28, and pick up verse 16. Genesis chapter 28, verse 16. Now, just in case you say, well, God will not pass me by. Well, there's certain times that he may not pass you by, but he intervenes in spite of your stupidity. And he gives you something. He intervenes in your life. And it's not because of you, it's because of him. And he won't let you pass by and intervene. You want to pray that God intervenes. Are you listening to me? Pray that God intervenes in your life. And that he don't pass you by and let you go by. Genesis chapter 28. And let's pick up verse 16. And Jacob woke out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord was in this place. Now, look what he says. And I knew it, what, folks? Not. The Lord was in this place, and I knew it not. Where's he at? He's at Bethel.
Jacob spends the next 20 years dreaming about Bethel. He said, gotta go back to Bethel, gotta go back to Bethel, gotta go back to Bethel, gotta go back to Bethel. And Bethel's become a famous place in his life. And there's a lot of churches just called Bethel Baptist Church or Bethel this and Bethel that and Bethel this. Say amen. Now look at it. Look at it. And Jacob woke out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord was in this place and I know it not. Now look at verse 10. Verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, see, he's dreaming, God had to intervene. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and atop of it reached into heaven. Behold, the angel of God ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham and the father and the God of Isaac, and the land where thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. So Jacob gets in the promise with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The land of Israel belongs to the Jew, and he gives it right there to Jacob. So Jacob gets a golden nugget, carrying for 20 years. You read the rest of the life of Jacob, and Jacob was quite a character. Say amen. And he had one promise, Bethel, 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 Bethel. That's where he got the nugget, got a golden nugget. So if God hadn't intervened, he wouldn't have got a golden nugget. You know what God has to do sometimes? God has to intervene to give you a precious promise in that book. You better pray that he intervenes in your life and gives you a precious promise that'll get you through when you're going through. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Exodus. Turn to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. Here is the man Moses. Exodus chapter 3. And Exodus chapter 3 is Moses getting his call to the ministry. Moses is 80 years old. And Moses is about to get his call into the ministry and leading the children out of Egypt through the wilderness for the next 40 years. And he's about to get the call to preach and deliver Israel. The time that completely changed his life and the greatest moment in Moses' life is right here. Greatest moment in his life, a call to preach. Now watch what happens. Exodus chapter 3, and Exodus chapter 3, look at verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian, and he led the flock of the backside of the desert, and came to the mount of God, even to Horeb. He's up on Mount Sinai. And what's on Mount Sinai? What does Moses do on Mount Sinai? What does he do with his shoes, folks? Takes them off. Then what ground did he walk on? Holy ground. He gets holy ground. He sees a burning bush. He meets God face to face. Now watch what happens. An angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside. Underline that. And see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And, now look at it, folks, look at your Bible, verse 4. And when, circle the word when, there it is, right there. When the Lord saw that he turned aside. So Moses is going along like this. Now the burning bush, could he have put the burning bush right there? In front of him, right there, about a half foot off the rope of the trail. Could he put the burning bush right? Why did he put the burning bush right in front of him? Then he said, burning bush? Huh? Whoa, what's that? Isn't that burning bush ain't that. That burning bush is over here. So he comes by like that. He comes up here like this. Sees a burning bush out of the corner of his eye. Looks over there and says, what's that? And the Lord's saying, are you going to pass on by, Moses? Yeah, I haven't said a word to you for 40 years.
Not one word in the Bible said God spoke to Moses for the last 40 years.
Yeah.
40 years of silence from God to Moses. And the Lord says, Moses, are you going to pass on by? Or are you going to stop and see? Moses turned aside. And he said, and when he saw that Moses turned aside, he spoke to him.
Yeah.
What if he had said, sheep, my sheep, my sheep. I can't worry about that thing. My sheep, my sheep, my sheep. My sheep. I got to take care of my sheep. My sheep got to take care of my sheep. Don't you miss God taking care of a bunch of sheep. You make sure you contact God Almighty and don't let the sheep stand in your way. You got it?
Amen.
You got it? Comes right up there like that. Turns his eye. And gets the greatest thing in his life. And all he did was say, God's testing him. God let Moses go right on fire. You know what he'd do with an unsaved mind? God would let you go to hell unless you submit yourself to it. You said yes to God. You said yes to Jesus Christ. And if you hadn't, he'd let you go to hell. They'll let you burn, baby, burn. You think God Almighty will make you get saved? You got another thing coming. He won't make you get saved. He'll let you walk out that door and go to hell. He wants you to get saved. He died for you. He was crucified for you. He died for you. Jesus Christ died for me. He died for my sin to the cross of Calvary. But I had to submit and say yes.
Amen.
Then why should it be any different for a saved man? Shouldn't he also submit and say, yes to God, I want you? Every eye closed and an head bowed. Oh, Christian, don't let the Lord pass by. When it comes to his word, don't let the Lord pass by when it comes to getting a miracle for God Almighty. Don't let the Lord pass by when you have an opportunity to do something for God. Every little thing will count. Every little thing will count. You say, yes, Lord, there's my opportunity, and grab it, and grab it, and grab it, and grab it. He says, not one glass of cold water. One glass of cold water. He said, he'll bring it back again. It'll come back. Now, don't miss any opportunities. Now, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, don't you turn down Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong with Jesus Christ. There's plenty wrong with me and there's plenty wrong with the preacher, but there's nothing wrong with Jesus Christ. He died for you and he was crucified and he was in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights and he arose. He'll save you if you'll accept him right now. Will you accept him? Don't turn him down anymore. Have a soft heart and a tender heart and say yes to Jesus. Let's all stand as we sing. Song leader, come.